Would you like for us to post information about your congregation on the Find a Church page of our website? We'll add your church when it becomes part of the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues Etc. Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. to your church's mission or advertising budget. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 at issuesetc.org. Click support and publicize your congregation to the world.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's Monday afternoon, March the 28th. Deaconess Pam Nielsen is our guest. The story in John chapter 9 of Jesus healing the blind man, sometimes it, to mix metaphors here, falls on deaf ears for us today, even though blindness is certainly still among us. It certainly still is a malady for many. To think about Jesus healing a blind man for Christians who've heard the story 100 times, it says, well, of course Jesus can heal a blind man. He did all those miraculous things. And we fail to see not only the impact that it had and sometimes failed to have when Jesus did it during his earthly ministry, but also what it was Jesus wanted us to understand about himself and his saving work for us when he did such great miracles. Deaconess Pam Nielsen is our guest. She's senior editor of Sunday School Youth and Family Materials for Concordia Publishing House based in St. Louis, their Sunday school curriculum called Growing in Christ. Pam, welcome back.
Thank you. Great to be back on this Monday afternoon.
Before we talk about what it meant for Jesus to heal the blind man, let's talk about what it meant to be blind in first century Palestine.
Oh, that's a great thing to talk about, because it was not the world that we live in, where there is support and help for people who have disabilities or struggles. In that age, first of all, many figured that he deserved his blindness, that he must have done some sin, or his parents, and of course that comes out here. And blind people were really just left to their own devices. They often were beggars beside the road, relying on the mercy of strangers who might give them some food or some money to get food. It was a very lonely, kind of outcast kind of life. They couldn't get jobs. There was no even consideration that a blind man could do something to serve society. So it was a very, I think, lonely and harsh existence for people in Jesus' day who had this disability.
Now, tell us a story about how these two encounter one another, Jesus and the blind man.
Well, the story is recorded for us in John 9, and it starts out the chapter, as he passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. Jesus is in Jerusalem. He's passing by, and he's with his disciples, who ask him. They're struck by the blind man, and they're the student, they're the seminarians with their professor, and they say, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And then Jesus begins to teach them, explaining, first of all, that it was not this man or his parents that sinned. And he says, but it is that the works of God might be displayed in him. And he goes on to teach them and talks about himself being the light of the world. And this is part of a theme of what Jesus has been preaching and teaching, and sort of a continuation. And then he does this great thing that, you know, I think Sunday school kids, this was a favorite story, because Jesus spits. He spits on the ground, and he makes mud with his spit in the dirt, and he puts it on the man's eyes. Very physical, very earthy. And then he tells the blind man, go and wash in the pool of Siloam. And he's sent away to go do that. And the man goes, and he comes back, it says, seeing. So he didn't actually see Jesus. This stranger comes to him and does this, and now people all around who knew this man see that he can now see, and there's a big big controversy. Is this really the guy we knew that couldn't see? Is he the one? They're not sure, because they can't believe that now he can see. So, you know, the man is very clear. I am the man. He's tries to clarify, tells them all. They still don't believe. They go fetch his parents, and his parents say, yes, this is my son. He was born blind. And they tell the Pharisees, we don't know how it is that he can see, but you can ask him. He'll speak for himself. And the Jews and people were, you know, it was great confusion, great commotion, and they ask a second time to the blind man, and they get his same answer. He says, "What, you know, I can see." And then the question is, well, is he a sinner? What's going on? Who's this man that did this? All these things come out, and the man says very plainly, whether he is a sinner, speaking of Jesus, I do not know. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see. So the fact that this happened on a Sabbath is part of the frustration, part of the confusion, because of the strict rules about not doing work of any kind on the Sabbath, and Jesus made mud, and he healed somebody and in their strict following of the law. How could that be? How could a man of God, somebody sent by God, do this on the Lord's day? And it comes out that, well, he can do that because he is the Lord. And it's an amazing thing, but the Pharisees, they don't want to believe what the man says, and they cast him out, which is as good as, you know, He's out of the church. He's out of society. Maybe worse off than he was when he was blind, because he's been put out because of his faith in Christ and what he says about the man who healed him.
I mean, it's first of all notable that John would devote an entire chapter to this.
Yeah.
So one might take that alone as a signal that John really, really wants us to pay attention. This isn't one miracle among many's. This is, in fact, very important. The whole issue of sin here, starting with the disciples who sinned, is Jesus a sinner? The parents get accused of being sinful. The man, you're utterly steeped in sin. All of these kinds of things. What is the end result here for the man, just in particular for the man who is born blind? What does he receive in addition to his sight?
Well, He receives eyes of faith. He receives forgiveness of sins. He receives faith in Christ. And his spiritual blindness, not knowing who Jesus was, not knowing who the Son of Man, the Savior of the world is, through this, he meets his Savior. And he believes. And that becomes very clear at the end of the chapter when Jesus finds him and says, you know, he'd heard that he'd been cast out, and he says, do you believe in the Son of Man? And the man answers, and who is he, sir, that I may believe in him? And Jesus says, you have seen him, and it is he who is speaking to you. And the man makes this great confession of faith, Lord, I believe, and he worshiped him. And then Jesus explains, for judgment I came into this world, that those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind. And that's what's going on here. The greater thing is that this man sees it with eyes of faith, that Jesus is his Savior.
It's amazing how Jesus does this. I mean, this isn't just a miracle, if that weren't enough. Jesus says, I've come into the world to execute this judgment, that those who don't see, see. There's the blind man who didn't see in both senses and now does see in both senses. And then that those who do see may become blind. And moments later, that happens too, not by making anyone physically blind, but by showing the blindness of the unbelief among the Pharisees.
That's exactly right. It's sort of a little bit mysterious here, and a little bit of switch and play on things, that this blind man who can't see anything also doesn't know who Christ is, and through this miracle understands and learns who his Savior is, and sees the works of God. And those who are supposedly the wise religious leaders who know all and follow all the rules and know the Word of God, they cannot see. In all of this, they cannot see that this is the Son of God. And even the blind man questions him. How, you know, I don't know who he is, but how can you not recognize him as coming from God? Because it seems so obvious to him, and yet they're put off by it because they're clinging to their rules and what they know rather than with eyes of faith in the one true God.
Deaconess Pam Nielsen is our guest. It's Monday afternoon, the 28th of March. We are coming to you live talking about Jesus healing the blind man in John chapter 9. She's senior editor of Sunday School Youth and Family Materials for Concordia Publishing House based in St. Louis. The Sunday School curriculum from Concordia Publishing House that we work from called Growing in Christ. We only have a little amount of time before, I would say, a little bit more than a week, before we come to our Issues Etc. 24. In advance of Issues Etc. 24, it's a live 24-hour broadcast, a marathon broadcast, believe me it is, of Bible study. Every 2 hours, a different book of the Bible and a different guest over 24 hours. Before that, we want to hear from you, your Issues Etc. story. I know many of our listeners have an Issues Etc. story to tell. Now, how we want to hear from you? On our Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8384. Call the comment line any time of day or night, 618-223-8384, and leave us your Issues Etc. story. What's your favorite show and why? When did you start listening and how? How has Issues Etc. with God's Word impacted those around you? 618-223-8384. We need your Issues Etc. story before Thursday, April 7th. We'll be right back.
This is a message for members of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Thrivent Financial has a new charitable grant program called Thrivent Choice. Thrivent Choice allows you to designate charitable outreach funds to Lutheran Public Radio. For more information, look for the Thrivent logo under the Donate page of our website, issuesetc.org, or ask your Thrivent representative about Thrivent Choice. Help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. with Thrivent Choice.
Hi, this is Kate in Japan, and I'm commenting on the program you had about the Unification Church.
Thanks to God's gift of the Internet, people are listening to Issues Etc. around the world.
The most important point is to say I love your show and thank you for doing what you do. Bye from Japan.
Old theology, new technology, Issues Etc. worldwide. Listen to what you want, when you want, wherever you are. Issues Etc. issuesetc.org.
Grace, faith, scripture, and Christ alone. You're listening to Issues Etc.
The 500th anniversary of the Lutheran Reformation is fast approaching. We have such a rich history as Lutherans, and many people don't realize that. The CLCC offers a seminar called Your Reformation Walk that teaches that rich heritage and helps you appreciate it. The CLCC also offers other seminars designed to help laity learn to appreciate what Lutherans believe, teach, and confess. So invite us to your church. Visit theclcc.org and get details on scheduling a seminar for your church today.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Our Issues Etc. book of the month for March is the Faith Alive Student Study Bible. It's a serious, study Bible. And by that, I mean, you go into a Christian bookstore and often you'll find special Bibles, kids' Bibles, student Bibles, wives' Bibles, husbands' Bibles, all sorts of specialized Bibles that really miss the point of what being a student of the Bible is all about. They go through and they cherry pick verses and highlight things that are special just to that target reader. That's not what we're talking about here with the Faith Alive Student Study Bible. This is a serious study Bible that highlights what needs to be highlighted in Holy Scripture, namely Christ and His saving work. It's called the Faith Alive Student Study Bible from Concordia Publishing House. Call and order it for someone you know between ages 8 and 18. 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040, or browse before you buy at our website, issuesetc.org. Pam, in this text, there are many things to discover. The most important we've talked about, and that is who Jesus is, what he comes to bring to all sinners, those who believe in him, those who don't believe in him, all sinners, he is headed to the cross. But there are also other things to learn in John chapter 9, namely the nature of suffering. Some will say, well, if you suffer, it is because of something you've done. God is, kind of dealing with you this way because of your sin. What does this chapter in John chapter 9 say?
Well, this is a wonderful chapter to clarify that, because the question is asked there at the beginning by the disciples, you know, who sinned, this man or his parents? That was the assumption. There must have been something that they did wrong to cause him to be blind. And Jesus very quickly, very clearly says, you know, it was not this man or his parents. And he makes the point that, you know, that the works of God might be displayed in him, that is the purpose God is using this man's suffering and will bring out his works. But what we see here is what we can look throughout all the world and even in our own lives, the results of sin in the world, a broken and fallen creation, that we and all of this creation by God has been broken, and we feel the pains of that. We experience that brokenness, whether it be blindness from birth or sickness or a tsunami that sweeps away a coastal village. All of those things are because of a world broken by sin, but not specific punishments for any one person's sin, where you can say, because you did this, God's doing that to you. We don't have a God that does that lightning strike punishment on us. But in all of these things, and here Jesus says it, that the works of God might be displayed in him. So as Jesus heals him, people will look to the Son of Man, Jesus, and see and believe.
You point out that we shouldn't let it pass by as simply a detail, an unimportant detail of the story, that when Jesus heals this man, he employs very earthly, literally earthly, means to do so. Not only the mud, but also that pool at Siloam. Talk about that.
Yeah, it's a wonderful text that points us to how God uses the very earthly things that he's created, combines them with his word, with his power, to make things happen. And when you look at this text, it really harkens back to the creation of Adam by God, taking the dust from the ground to make the first man. And here, this blind man with the dust of the ground and the spit of our Lord is given a new life, both because he can now physically see, and that will change his life on the earth forever, you know, as long as he's on the earth. But he's given a new life in Christ. He's given faith, saving faith, forgiveness of sins, all of that comes. So very interesting. If you know the Genesis account of how God created man, and you can connect this, and I think a great thing to do with our students. Jesus using the mud and the water in the pool of Siloam also directs us into this ultimate healing that we receive in hearing the gospel, receiving the sacraments. Water poured over us at baptism is not a mere symbol. It actually does what it says. When you pair God's word, his saving word, with the water in holy baptism, we receive the gift of faith, forgiveness of sins, life everlasting. When you take bread and wine and they are paired with the words of institution, God's word, we receive forgiveness, life, and salvation. Those are real things that happen with these very earthly things. And what could be more earthy or earthly than hearing God's words of forgiveness preached by a sinful man in a pulpit? Not a perfect man, a man who's just like the rest of us, sitting in the pew, broken in his own sin, but alive in Christ, who has saved him and whose word he now preaches to the saints gathered in the church. God does these wonderful things, and these earthly things, we can see, we know them, we can touch them. It's a very tangible thing that I believe our Lord knows we humans, we need that connection to believe the spiritual, or he gives us those hooks, handles onto that, so that here, mud wasn't really the thing that healed this blind man. It was the Son of God who did it. But he used the mud and gave a physical part to that healing.
Is Jesus also showing us something about his fulfillment of the Sabbath and the real eternal purpose of the Sabbath? About 2 minutes, Pam.
Well, that too is a great question. Jesus is in doing this on the Sabbath. He knows exactly what he's going to be met with by the Pharisees, and that they're going to protest this because they live by the letter of the law. And Jesus, you know, is showing here that he fulfills the law, and he is beyond the law. He is God who gave the law, and he can heal on the Sabbath because he has come to make right all that is broken by sin that goes against the law. And his doing this was intentional and very obvious, and yet these Pharisees do not see. All they can do is cling to the law as they question the blind man again, and you know, they think Jesus is a sinner, and he says, "I don't know. All I know is I can see." And then they ask him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" And he said, "I've already told you, and you didn't listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples?" And then they quickly say, "We're disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we know not where he comes from." And the blind man's answer is just great. "Why, this is an amazing thing. You do not know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, God listens to him." The blind man gets it. Of course, he's been given eyes of faith, and the Pharisees don't have those eyes. They've got the law, but not the gospel. But Jesus is doing this to open their eyes, to open everyone's eyes to who he is. The greater thing is that this shows who Jesus is, the Son of God, the promised Savior, greater yet than a blind man receiving sight.
Deaconess Pam Nielsen is senior editor of Sunday School Youth and Family Materials for Concordia Publishing House, based in St. Louis. Their Sunday School curriculum is called Growing in Christ. You can always find out about Growing in Christ by going to our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Right beneath every conversation, our weekly conversations with Deaconess Pam Nielsen, you'll find a link to Growing in Christ. You can also call and ask for free samples of this Christ-centered, cross-focused Sunday School curriculum from Concordia Publishing House. Their toll-free number, 1-800-325-3040. 1-800-325-3040. Ask about growing in Christ. Pam, thank you very much.
Thank you. Have a great week.
Hour two of Issues Etc. is ahead, live this Monday, March the 28th. Dr. John Warwick Montgomery is going to be with us for the better part of that hour. We're going to discuss three big issues in the news with him. A recent ruling by the European Court of Human Rights that crucifixes can be displayed in public schools. This is a rather important ruling. It reverses an earlier ruling. Another reversal has to do with religious defamation. It came from the main human rights body of the United Nations. We'll also talk about that. And then, in the wake of revolution in Egypt, a strange political set of bedfellows is in the making. The Muslim Brotherhood, who is this? And the military government, the new military government of Egypt, they were not friends before. Now they appear to be willing to share power in some tangible way. We'll talk with Dr. John Warwick Montgomery about that a little later in the second hour. Dr. Robert Benet joins us. We'll talk about some recent comments made by Mark Hansen, presiding bishop of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, about same-sex relationships. Stay tuned for Hour 2.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.